Hi, everybody. This is Brandi Heinen with Powerhouse Learning again. And today, my friend Erica and I are going to talk a little bit about the impact of transitioning from having all of your employees or most of your employees working inside your office environment to having them go out and working from home. And now projecting maybe what we anticipate to happen once they start transitioning back. And so, Erica, tell everybody a little bit about what you do and what you've done for so many years with the Yeider Insurance Agency.
I've been with Yeider Insurance Group for 14 years. I am currently their operations manager. And what I kind of want to talk about today is what it's been like for us going from everyone in the office to having a large portion of our team working from home. So I know that this is not a new thing for a lot of employers, but we only had 3 remote employees when we did this. So going from such a transition has been challenging.
Tell me a little bit about your role in operations, because my experience of you is that you are an efficiency expert and you are there helping make sure that all of those incoming calls from customers are being placed in the queue properly, that account managers and customer service representatives are getting back to the customer in a timely fashion and making sure that their inquiries are handled. Could you fill me in a little bit about what the day-to-day looks like for you most of the time, and then what it has looked like after this transition and what you anticipate happening after?
Yeah, so operations is kind of twofold for me because I have a lot of experience from integrating a new management system into our agency and also on the workflow side. So obviously when you have your team in the office, it's very different than having them remote. So if you need to go bounce an idea off of someone or get some advice, you walk next door and say, hey, what have you done in this situation? Have you seen anything like this? So you kind of lose that because you have to take a different initiative in picking up the phone and trying to track somebody down. Well, when you have these workflows in place that have been working for a while and then you transition to home, it brings up a whole different, not only technology challenge, but also in how we communicate. Because I think when you transition to more of a remote work, the initial go-to would be an email. Well, that's not always the best way to communicate with somebody because a lot gets lost in translation in an email. Versus if you do it via the phone or via face-to-face, especially face-to-face, you can see people's interactions, see their facial expressions, see their body movement, and that is very important in our communication. But definitely trying to make sure people are communicating what they actually need versus trying to read between the lines in an email, especially when emails can be misconstrued and especially when we have so many people who have heightened emotions already due to,
of course,
the coronavirus outbreak. So trying to keep
heightened emotions because of this, but also the emotions of how are we going to transition back? And so the majority of your employees then have moved offsite. Now you're going to start maybe thinking about bringing some of them back when that timeline comes. So how are you going? I mean, really, is this not the perfect opportunity to practice all that change management that you have learned about and that you've been practicing for 14 years there?
So one great thing that comes out of changing someone's environment so drastically is you get to know how they handle change management. And I think it's also pretty empowering for some people who think that, hey, I could never do that. I don't know how. I don't know the technology. And then for them to actually, okay, we're doing this whether we like it or not because we have to do it. And so for them to be able to take that and kind of roll with it and see, okay, yeah, it's working. I can do this. I think it can be very empowering for someone that may not have the confidence in themselves as far as technology goes to be able to do that, to be able to adapt. So I think it's kind of a feather in your cap of your team when they're able to achieve something like that. But I know some things as far as how to stay sane. I think right now I know there's a lot of studies around how keeping a routine can be very beneficial, not only to your mental health. And it can combat things like depression, anxiety.
Absolutely.
I know as far as myself, I'm trying to keep as much and create as much of a routine as possible. But now that, such a large part of our workforce is working from home, it's important to still keep a routine. So if you usually get up and work out, so keep getting up and working out, because that's going to help you get in that mind space that you originally were in. I know routines, they're really beneficial in keeping you more efficient. Not only that, it instills your good habits and it reduces the amount of, or the need, I guess, to have a willpower to, okay, go to my desk and do X, Y, Z, because it's already pre-programmed into your brain, kind of like when you brush your teeth. So it's something that you go to and do every day and you don't have to think about it. Or at least I hope it's ingrained in everybody's routine.
Like brushing their teeth? I hope so.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I sure hope so.
We hope to have that routine. I have the same routine every morning, and it, like you say, it lowers our stress level. We know how to plug things in a certain way. Well, talk to me about some of the camaraderie things that you do in the office, like some of your meetings, some of your workflow discussions and organizational habits that you help instill in your team. How have you been able to continue that through the remote work?
Well, actually, it's something I know you worked with us for several years that you had introduced to us, are these Zoom meetings. So that's something that we had initially integrated when we put into place a couple of remote employees so they can still have access to all of our group meetings. But I know that just from the aspect of web meetings, this is, you can still see everyone, you can have that interaction, it's still keeping people connected. That has been very beneficial. And I think, kind of like I touched on before, it's something that people talk about, I could never do this, I don't know how they can manage that. And then they get into it and they're doing it and they're like, okay, this isn't that much different. It's just changing the venue of how we're receiving it.
Absolutely. So you're still having meetings with your team. You're still communicating in small groups.
Correct. We're doing Zoom meetings. We communicate via email. If we need to conference somebody in, we'll pick up the phone and conference a couple people in just to keep up that communication and try to avoid as much miscommunication that can happen via an email.
No kidding, because you don't want all the extra to have to mitigate during this time either, although some of it's going to happen anyway.
Oh,
for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, just as people in the community are having issues navigating all the anxiety that's caused by a pandemic and dealing with your own emotional ups and downs, then you have the outside influx of not only your team, but taking on some of their emotions as well and trying to process those. So.
Well, and not just you taking them on, but them dealing with one another. So we have that dynamic in any workforce anyway, and some are going to have, as we say, the emotional intelligence or the ability to handle their adversity better than others. And so obviously one person's stress and how they manage that can affect the rest of the team. And so I'm sure you are still engaged in some of those kind of conversations as well. And for those that are creating drama or maybe creating a little more unproductive dialogue than is necessary. So I'm sure that that's still going on. Okay, question. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, when you have such a passionate team, they're not only passionate about how they're serving their insurers, they're also passionate about their viewpoints. And everyone has a little bit of a different viewpoint. When you have people that are passionate and good at their jobs, they're also passionate about other areas of life too, and that might not coincide with your viewpoint of it.
So what suggestions would you have for your customers who have staff that are out? And maybe if you could talk a little bit about the payroll codings, what are some of the suggestions you have higher level on ways to help manage that process as well?
Well, I think one thing that you want to make sure you're doing is keeping them engaged, whether they are completely off due to the coronavirus relief or if they are actually still working. Just keep them engaged, because I think there's nothing worse than actually sitting at home and not knowing where you stand with something, whether you are perceiving, okay, is this person doing their job? Are they not doing their job? When do they plan on coming back to work? I mean, just keeping in touch with people. I mean, communication is obviously key to anything in life, but far as the coronavirus relief law that's gone into place, I know that a lot of human resource professionals are talking about how to code this, because you have people who have been ordered by the government to quarantine or isolate themselves because they have been exposed to the COVID-19, or they actually have it, or they have symptoms that they think might be COVID, and they are waiting to get test results on whether or not that is the truth. So when you have those people and they can't work, by the coronavirus relief law, they're still, employers with less than 500 employees are still required to pay them at their regular rate of pay. Just making sure that you are documenting that sufficiently. I know one of the tips that I've heard is to create a separate code for that, just like you would a disability code or a vacation or PTO code, have this code designated strictly for the coronavirus relief law. That way you make sure that you have this documentation in place, because from the information that I have read, this is going to be something that the federal government may be reimbursing. And then along the same lines, if you have someone on your team that has that's caring for somebody that has been quarantined, or if they, like myself, I have children at home, and if I didn't have the care for them that I had to be home to take care of them, my employer would be responsible for paying 2/3 of my wage or minimum wage, whichever is greater. So just having codes in place to accommodate those if need be.
Absolutely. And where is the best resource that you're finding to get real solid information that is timely?
Well, I know the Society of Human Resource Management, that has been a good tool for Yeider Insurance Groups, because they have really valuable information and they update it as quickly as they can.
Great. And then also your payroll company, if you use one, they're usually up to date on what's happening with federal and state laws as well. So if you use a payroll company, they're a good one to reach out to also. Awesome, Erica. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You too. Thank you, Brandy.